everybody. Hey now, what's going on? This is the Racer X podcast show. This is the best Racer X podcast show that's ever been done on Racer X. Keep that in mind. I'm your host, Steve Mathis. I want to thank everybody for listening, and I want to know that everyone out there is listening to this at work, while they're working out, or just generally goofing off. Thank you. I appreciate spending some time with me. I'm not that exciting, but hopefully my guests are. So we're getting the numbers in for this show, and they're pretty good, people. I really appreciate it. The webmaster over at RacerX, Keith Burgey, has gave me some numbers, and yeah, they're good. I'm pumped on that many people enjoy this stupid little show I do in a room in my house that's painted blue. So thanks very much for tuning in. Maybe one day we'll get a sponsor and I'll be swimming in cash. We'll see. If you know anything about freestyle motocross, then you know my next guest. He shot to prominence at the Gravity Games when he became the first person to land a backflip. Well, kind of. Kerry Hart is the guest, and he's an innovator. He's an entrepreneur of the highest level. He's taken his Hart and Huntington tattoo parlors to the next level and opened up a nightclub, has a book, he's married to a rock star, and oh yeah, he owns a supercross team with Troy Adams and Matt Bonney. He's recently moved his shop from the Palms all the way to the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, right where his bar is, Wasted Space. So he's consolidating everything into the Hard Rock Hotel. In short, he's a superstar of the highest level in our little world, and he might be the biggest name we have besides that Travis Pastrana guy. I first met Hart in 97 when he was a privateer racer, just like the rest of us, traveling from supercross to supercross, trying to put it in the main event. But he was a little different than everybody else. The number 154 KX250 with baggy gear and tattoos and sleeves that seemed to always fly up and flap in the wind. He was a friendly guy back then, and we hung out for a couple of weeks when he followed myself and Jason Fernet around a little bit. I think he's really the same guy now that he was back then. I've always just said hi to him and talk to him here and there, and he always asks me what's up and how I'm doing, and seems to remember me. And now we've become a little bit better friends, I guess, than what we were. But tell you what, no matter what goes on, it just seems like Hart is the exact same guy that he was in 97 to me. Probably has a little more tattoos, a little more money, but other than that, I don't know. So he's really got no limit, I think, to his imagination of how big he can make his race team, his shop, and his freestyle motocross career. I think he's taken that up as well, as you'll hear in this podcast. Remember, this and the other podcasts are available for downloading on iTunes. Check out the old Racer X Canada ones while you're at it, and I want to thank everybody once again for listening in. Really, like I said, the numbers are decent. I'm shocked as you guys. I have as much fun doing these as you guys do listening, so I enjoy talking to these people, and if there's one thing I know how to do, it's just go blah, 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 and talk to these guys. So, anyways, enough of that. This week on the Racer X podcast show, it's Kerry Hart. Here he is. We got him. Thanks for listening. See ya.
This is David Pingree, the 2001-25 West Coast runner-up, 2007 Supermoto runner-up, and the guy who broke his bike in half in 2002. You're listening to the Racer X podcast show.
Kerry Hart, welcome to the Racer X podcast show. I've been wanting to get you on for a while, and seeing as we're neighbors, live in the same city anyways.
Yeah, right.
Are you there right now? Are you in Vegas?
I am. Punching away at my keyboard as we speak.
Yeah, you just never know with you. Could be anywhere.
Yeah, right, I know. Look, I've been trying to stay home as much as possible, getting ready for this big Australia tour, so.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's what I was, my first question on the gate is, what's going on in your life?
I mean, I got a lot going on, actually. I mean, between, I got my circle of businesses. We just moved Hart Huntington Tattoo over to the Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas, so. That was a big project that's been coming on for a while, so we finally got that up and going, and I got Wasted Space, the nightclub, also over there at Hard Rock, and obviously the Supercross team. It's been a long season, and we're coming into this last weekend finally, and then I'm kind of focusing now too on riding my motorcycle a bit and doing the Lucas Short Course Series.
Oh, okay, all right. What about Supermoto for you?
I mean, the plan is, you know, assuming I get an invite, I was planning on doing X Games. Any selected events I can do, you know, that the schedule is kind of ever fluctuating and changing, so it's kind of hard for me to plan too much into it. I mean, that was a big problem I had last year. You know, I didn't get to do hardly any races because they set the schedule, and 80% of the race has changed, and by the time the race came around, my schedule was booked, so it was kind of unfortunate. But, you know, hopefully I'll at least get to get out and do one or two events this year outside of X Games.
Yeah, so you're out of the Palms, and everything's in the Rio, or everything's in the Hard Rock now.
Yep, everything's 100% at Hard Rock now.
How's that club going for you?
Club's going really good.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool because it's just different from anything Vegas has to offer. You know, I mean, everything in Vegas is like the big mega clubs and the shiny shirts and all the mainstream music. And, you know, our place is more a rock and roll spot with, you know, different elements of rock and roll music, whether it's kind of new school, old school, or mashup, whatever it might be. But it's been super fun. We've had some really solid bands coming through, too.
I was going to go down and check it out, but here's my problem, my wife and I's problem living here. Every club is a long line, packed to the gills, can't get in, bottle service only. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I got to make it down at one point. But
yeah, I mean, that's what's cool about our place. I mean, we have the VIP amenities. You know, if someone, a client wants to come in and buy a couple bottles of booze and have a private table, or you can just walk in and go straight to the bar and have a beer. You know?
But I'm sure the line is massive. I'm sure the line is massive, as always.
I mean, it's give and take. I mean, we have some nights that are pretty mellow. Like, I mean, like last night we had like a really good DJ lineup with Danny Masterson and a few other guys, and it was just fun and mellow, you know. But then there's nights like Wednesdays and Fridays and Saturdays where it's just to the gills and it's just the rat race, you know. It just depends on what's going on in there.
Yeah. The guy from 70s Show is a DJ?
Yeah, a really, really good DJ.
Huh. Oh, wow. Who knew?
Yeah. He's really good. He does like the LA circuit and travels all over. He's insane.
Dude, did you ever think all this would be possible when you were racing Minneapolis Supercross in 1997?
God, when I was racing Supercross in 97, I was just trying to put food on my table.
I know.
So there's no way I could ever imagine that I'd be at this point.
I know. You're like a big star, dude. For real. I can't believe it. Like, you're like a tabloid dude and stuff, you know? I don't know. It blows my mind.
Yeah, it's a trip, you know? Like, it's definitely you know, some days it's a little difficult to kind of digest and take it all in. You know, I mean, I have a lot of hats I have to wear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but at the same time too, it's fun. You know, I'm put in a situation where a lot of people, you know, aren't so lucky, especially as bad the economy is today. And it's like, you know, I got to take full advantage of every minute.
Yeah, and one thing about you too, I think. I mean, I don't know you that well, but I know you well enough. I don't think you really changed all that much.
I mean, I like to think I haven't, you know. I mean, at the end of the day, I still ride my motorcycle, and I still have the same circle of friends, and still dress the same, and still drive the same cars, pretty much.
Right, yeah. Like,
you know, I just try to put my head down and work hard, you know, and hopefully just build a retired a little bit younger age than opposed to most.
Now, you're around quite a bit of celebrities. Do you ever do you make you shake your head at some of these guys? I mean, they don't really live in a real world, and you know, you probably did do construction at one point for your dad. And do you just shake your head at some of these guys?
You know what I mean? The cool thing about Waste of Space and, like, the circle people I usually run in or I get tied in with is they're really humble. I mean, most of them are, like, hardworking. You know, most of them are rock and roll bands. You know, so it's like, you know how that story goes. Everyone had to kind of dig, claw their way from the bottom to the top. I mean, you look at guys like Benji and Joel Madden, you know, broke-ass East Coast kids, you know, I mean, literally self-made, clawed their way out, you know, and same thing with, you know, different circles of people I run with, these guys from Avenged Sevenfold, whoever it might be. I mean, they're all hardworking guys. Like, usually, like, the jaded ones is when you start getting into, like, the child actors turn celebrities. Like, that's where it kind of starts getting jaded, you know, but, you know, fortunately enough, you know, the position I'm usually putting myself in, it's usually pretty solid people.
Yeah, well, I can just imagine some of the things that you've seen or done or heard, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guarantee you're not getting rich or even probably making any money off this Supercross team you have.
No.
Why do it? Why did you want to do it?
I mean, there's a lot of reasons why, honestly. I mean, I'm a racer at heart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was always the kid, you know, aspiring to go be like Jeremy McGrath or Ricky Johnson, you know, go win championships and get factory rides and all that cool stuff, you know. And that's where my heart was at, you know, up until early 90s when I started, you know, making a switch into freestyle full-time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then to be, you know, kind of come full circle, you know, and even though I stepped away from racing because of all the politics that it was swirling around it back in the, you know, mid-90s, you know, to be in a position to where, you know, I'm able to, like, actually give back to a sport that gave me so much. I mean, if it's racing or freestyle or supermoto, whatever it might be, it's still motorcycles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to be in a situation where it's like, all right, I can go out and promote my business. I can go out and promote my tattoo shops and my clothing brands and all this fun stuff. And I can be another threat in the pit. You know, like, you know, we're not chasing the box this year, but, you know, over the last 2 years, I think we made some leaps and bounds, you know, advances in our race program. And, you know, hopefully next year we're going to team up with the factory and go chase the box, you know, and to be able to just be another semi in the truck and, you know, a couple more paychecks and support in the industry. I mean, I think that's an important part, you know, and it's definitely kind of a bum out, you know, to see, I mean, just on the overview, like so many athletes that come through motocross and, you know, they make their money and they step out and they kind of disappear, you know, and I like to be able to, on some level, give back to a sport that gave so much to me.
That's pretty cool. And even though it sounds kind of cheesy, I believe you.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
You know, I mean yeah. The thing is, like, I still love going to the races, though. Like,
yeah.
I go and I have a great time, you know? Like, I like to go connect with my fan base and hang out with my riders and, you know, love going to the races, you know? So it's like, it's, I mean, you know, even though, like I say, yeah, it does sound kind of cheesy, but it's the truth. You know, I like giving back to the industry, but at the same time, like, it's, I've taken so much from it, it's nice to be able to give back.
Yeah, that's cool. I hear some rumors of some factory involvement. Is there something there? Maybe.
I mean, there are some grumblings. I mean, it's still really early. You know,
yeah.
I think everyone's just trying to get through this season, and you know, I really hope so. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I hope that we're able to team up with the factory. I mean, I think we have the look and the image and the edge and the fan base. I mean, I think we've done a really good job at that over the last 2 years, and kind of bringing the whole show to the races and really giving spectators, you know, their money's worth. But you know, I'm gonna go race for the box. I'm not gonna say we're gonna go win championships. You know, it's definitely nice to be, you know, inside that top five and start being a threat.
Yeah, exactly. Now, that Bonnie thing's working out pretty good for you. He's on it.
Yeah, you know, Bonnie, he's such a rad kid, man. Like, and he's really come to life. I mean, he was riding really strong before. And, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people from the outside might not know how good of a program we have, but, you know, we take it very, very serious. You know, we have a great program from top to bottom with suspension and motor packages. And, you know, we have an amazing test facility here in Las Vegas with our Supercross track. And we have a great race shop. And we take it really serious, you know, and I think that, you know, he's getting the attention that he deserves, you know, and him and Troy feed off each other really well. You know, they practice and train together, and I think it's a good dynamic, you know. Like, with our dynamic here is, like, we know the last thing, I know how it is being a racer, you know, and it's like the last thing I'm going to do is harp and pound on people for results. It's like, if you're out there, you're having a good time, you're riding hard, you're practicing hard, results are going to come, you
mm-hmm.
know, and that's just kind of how I try to run the program.
Yeah, and Adams is, I know he's made some changes in his program. And the last 2-3 weeks is the best I've seen him all season.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, he had kind of like, little, you know, had a little hiccup mid-season, and you know, and he went back home for a little while and kind of regrouped a bit, and now he's been on the West Coast and he's just been training and riding hard, you know, and I'm psyched for him.
Nothing like having a guy that's beating you too. You know what I mean? Like having a guy on your same bike beating you, like Bonnie. So
yeah,
good motivation.
I mean, yeah, definitely. You know, it's you know, and it's good because, you know, these guys, like I said, these guys practice together and they train together, and I think they have a great dynamic. You know, they're both Florida boys, and I mean, and at the end of the day, I mean, these guys are all having like a really good time. It's a really good atmosphere out here, and you know, we try to keep it fun, and you know, and give these guys all the tools they need to go out and you know, chase down results.
Yeah, you guys definitely keep it fun over there. No doubt about that. What was up with Hansen? Talk about Josh's unfortunate little brief tenure with your team.
You know what, it's, you know,
because I understand you were the guy really wanted to hire him, from what I hear.
Yeah, no, yeah. Definitely. No, I mean, you know, like, I've known Hansen a long time, and, you know, I've known Hansen through his ups and downs through his career and stuff, and, I mean, I personally feel that, you know, it was the right decision this year, you know, going into the season. You know, I mean, I felt that he had his head in the right place,
mm-hmm.
and he was ready to work, and to be honest, you know, he put in the work. He was training with our trainer and you know, doing the test time and all that stuff. So it wasn't like a lack of riding or a lack of testing. I think what happened was he was a little spooked on the big bike this year. You know, I mean, you know, the Honda, you know, the Hondas are a pretty serious bike this year, and they take a little getting used to. And you know, and he's about, you know, 105 pounds wet. So you know,
yeah,
he's having a little bit of problem adjusting to the big bike. You know, and then at the same time, too, unfortunately enough, you know, what happened with my brother last year, you know, Josh was pretty close with my brother, and then the passing of Lusk, it really just rattled him, you know, and you know, like, so we had a long conversation about it, and I was like, look, you know, if you're riding scared, you're going to get hurt. Like,
yeah.
There ain't no point in doing that. You know, if you need to take a couple steps back and kind of get your head together and, you know, get things figured out, well, you know, then let's do that. Like, and at the end of the day, like, I appreciate the fact that he was man enough to come to me and do that, because most people in that position would have wrote it out for the paycheck or just kind of kept going, you know, knocking down, trying to get results and just collecting the paycheck. And, you know, and Josh came to me as a friend more than anything. He's like, look, you know, here's my situation. Here's how I'm feeling. you know, I don't want to waste your time and your money. And, you know, let's, you know, maybe we can come up with a solution. So, you know, that's how it was left off, and it was all good, you know, and we're still friends, and I'll do anything I can for Josh.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I didn't realize that he came to you. I thought you guys were just kind of over the whole deal, so that's good.
No, I mean, that wasn't it at all, you know. Yeah. It's like, you know, I mean, I'm the type of person, I want to stick with my guys to the bitter end. I mean, you know, everybody has ups and downs. No one has perfect seasons year after year, and, you know, and it's just this was a little bit of a hiccup for him this year, you know. We all felt pretty good in the off season when we signed him, and he felt good going in, and like I said, he's having a little bit of issues with the bikes just because he's so light and lanky, and I think more so just, you know, what happened with Lush has, you know, really got in his head.
Yeah, for sure. And Bonnie can wrap up top privateer this weekend. He's tied with Voss, or he's one ahead with one race left, so.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, you know, I don't really put too much pressure on myself or any of the guys on, you know, trying top privateer or top team or whatever it might be. But, you know what, I think it would just be, more than anything, it would be a great confidence builder for Bonnie, you know, and really start getting him some momentum going into next season.
Is anybody signed for next year, or are you kind of open to that, waiting on everything?
You know what, I just have to wait and see which direction this goes, if we're going to be a privateer team again or if we're going to be a factory support team,
right.
You know, so. I think there's a lot to do in the off season, and, you know, I want to try to get ahead of the curve as fast as possible so that we can, you know, we can start getting back to work and testing. And, you know, with the summertime, we got X Games, and we got U.S. Open later in the year. So I want to be way ahead of the curve this year.
Yeah, I know Watson real well. I've known him for a long time, just like you.
Yeah.
I want to know how many times you've mentally fired him.
Look, you know what?
Come on. Like, I mean, it's awesome that you gave him the job and got him the manage, and I know he's doing a good job. I'm just, you know. It's Watson.
Yeah, totally.
It's Watson, dude. It's Watson.
You know what? I will totally back him up. He's doing such a good job, you know. I mean, when me and him, you know, first teamed up 2 years ago, you know, I told him, I sat him down, I'm like, look, you've been in this industry a long time. I mean, you know, Watson was my team. I mean, I met Kenny. He was my team manager for, you know, Triple X.
Uh-huh.
And I was riding freestyle with Triple X back in, you know, 99, 2000. So, you know, we go, and actually before that, I actually knew him when he was Deegan's mechanic, you know. And,
right.
And like I told him, I go, look, I know you've been in this industry a long time and you're kind of programmed to do things a certain way, but let's just throw a majority of that out the window and we're going to start this thing and run it like a business. And, you know, I run all my businesses very strict and lean, and, you know, and there's a procedure for everything, and I said, we're going to run this like a business, and if there's anything else, I'm going to teach you how to run a business, and, you know, and this is how we're going to do it. And, you know, it was a little difficult in the beginning just because, you know, he was kind of setting his ways on some things, which were obviously right. I'm not going to say, you know, what he was doing wasn't right.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's just certain things, you know, certain ways I wanted things done, and, you know, and now here we are 2 years down the road, and, I mean, the guy is on fire. I mean, he could... As hard as I am to be as a boss, you know, on some levels, I think Kenny's adapted really well, and I think he can pretty much go from here out and run any factory team out there.
Yeah, I mean, if you look up a classic character in the dictionary of motocross, it's going to have Watson's face there.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I mean? He's definitely been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to do any outdoors? First one, maybe?
You know what? Actually, I'm going to help Troy out a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's basically just going to go do the outdoors on his own. I'm just going to set him up with a couple of bikes. And but, you know, he wants to go back out and chase down the outdoor series, you know, which is great. I mean, you know, Troy's a really strong outdoors rider, and he wants to get back out there. So we're more set up just as a Supercross program. You know,
mm-hmm.
pretty much most of our dollars are spent by, well, actually well before the checkered flag in May.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, we're definitely going to help him on some level, at least get him out there on the road, and, you know, and then I'm going to try to help wrangle up some different sponsors for him.
Oh, that's cool, yeah. Watson was saying that you guys might end up doing the first two or something, who knows, but...
I mean, there's always that possibility. I mean, really just comes down to, you know, to both Matt and Troy and what they want to do, and
mm-hmm.
really just figure out this whole schedule, you know? I mean, like I said, we were more structured just for Supercross, and, you know, if we can make some things happen and maybe... hit up a couple of the West Coast races just to have a presence there, you know, why not?
Yeah. What would you do if you were in charge of the Supermoto series?
I mean, to be totally honest, I would take it away from some of these Mickey Mouse promoters.
Uh-huh.
Put it in an arena where it needs to be. These parking lots are way too dangerous. These go-kart tracks are way too dangerous. I mean, it's just really heartbreaking, you know, because I was so gung-ho in the series, and I definitely still am,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, to have races dropping off schedules and events fluctuating and then showing up and, you know, you basically have the best, you know, some of the best in the world guys who do the U.S. series. I mean, racing on a go-kart track, that's not supermoto racing. You know, and it's a bum out. I mean, you know, the proof is in the numbers. I mean, you look at the ratings numbers for X Games, and, you know, supermoto is always like top three as far as ratings go, and it's because it's a good production value. The track is great. The dirt section's great. And, you know, and it shows. You know, sometimes you have to spend money to make money. You know, and I'm not saying that the series has to be in stadiums every round, but you can start getting creative, you know, and take the thing to the city streets, or, you know, find decent venues and build a good dirt section that's going to keep the fans, you know, into it and the riders alike, you know, because the riders don't like showing up riding basic dirt sections either. It's just a bum out. I think there's so much potential in that series, and I know guys like Troy Lee have worked so hard on it, and, you know, and we've all spent a whole lot of money in it over the last few years, and it's just unfortunate the series has kind of gone backwards. I mean, I hope nothing more than at least this year. I hope it ends on a solid note, you know, and, you know, hopefully Drew wins the championship again and the series comes off solid so it can start a rebuild process.
Yeah, I watched it quite a bit when it was on TV, and I never understood why they didn't go to every downtown center city they could. You know what I mean? That was always pretty bitching.
I think at the end of the day, it's just, you know, you get these Mickey Mouse promoters that, you know, that just get into this thing and jump on it and think they can throw out a few hay bales and throw in a race. And,
yeah.
And sometimes in the 11th hour, they decide to cancel the event because they're not making enough money, not selling enough tickets. And at the end, it just hurts the series. It hurts the riders and it hurts the sponsors. And it's just bad for the sport, you know. And at a certain point, you know, we've all tried it, but at a certain point, whoever the sanctioning body of this thing is needs to stand up for the sport and be like, look, you know, that we aren't going to do this anymore. We're going to take this to major events. We're going to invest a few dollars into the thing to make it better. But, you know, unfortunately enough, that's not how things work sometimes in motocross.
Yeah, exactly. And getting into that, you talked earlier about some of the politics involved when you were racing. And I guess, without throwing anybody under the bus, what kind of stuff did you come up with when you were a tattooed LBZ wearing KX250 privateer?
I mean, it was funny back then, you know. I mean, back then, I was riding for Flesh Gear. And,
I was back and forth. That's what I meant.
In Flesh Gear. But, yeah, I was out there in baggy gear, you know. And, yeah, I had half sleeves. And, you know, and back then, I specifically remember, you know, I used to hang out with Greg Schnell and, like, all the SoCal boys. And that's when Supercross was trying to go, like, just kicking and screaming, trying to go this whole NASCAR element where, you know, you showed up in your collared shirt and you're just the mom's wet dream out there, just, you know, representing racing, and there's no individualism, you know. And I remember, like, Greg Schnell, when he signed on his contract that year for Chaparral, I remember looking at his contract. It said, you know, no visible piercings, no colored hair, no visible tattoos. And it's just like,
really? Wow. You really said that?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I remember very, very specifically, you know. And, you know, and Greg used to have bleached hair and had his tongue pierced and some tattoos, and it's just, you know, like, and they were trying to go down this path. And, you know, my last year racing was 98, and I'm not saying by any means I was, you know, deserving a factory ride, but, you know, it was like me and a handful of guys out there who were, you know, only the one or two guys who were privateers getting in the mains consistently. And, you know, at the end of the day, those guys got rides and I didn't. And, you know, but in the end, it was actually a blessing in disguise, because that right there is what pushed me away from racing and said, you know what, pretty much screw the race world. I'm going to go ride freestyle and see how it goes. And that's where I ended up at, you know. Unfortunately enough, had the race scene not pushed me out of it, I probably wouldn't have, you know, gone full bore into freestyle. And I probably wouldn't be sitting in this chair talking to you right now.
Yeah. Who'd want to talk to you then, right?
So, you know, but then at the same time, though, it's pretty cool to see how the effects of freestyle motocross, with, you know, as heavy as all of us were with, you know, with myself and Metzger and, you know, and Deegan and all those guys, like, with image and tattoos, it broke down those barriers in supercross, you know, and now it's okay to be Josh Grant in full sleeves, or, you know, and Josh Hansen with full sleeves.
Halftime,
you know,
show.
It's about being individuals now. It's not just about being a collared shirt, you know, sitting behind a semi signing posters all day.
Yeah, and we got a halftime show, freestyle. So
exactly.
And it's going over great. I mean, I'm really surprised. The fans love it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and I think it's helped, as, you know, as much as people would hate to admit it, I think freestyle has definitely helped out Supercross a lot.
What was your next week like after you pulled that backflip in Cleveland?
Oh, man, it was chaos. I mean, it was, you know.
Like that,
I mean,
that kind of changed your life.
I mean, it definitely did, you know, because back then, you know, action sports in general was kind of on the bubble. You know, like, that was, like, the first, you know, X Games had been around a few years. I think that was, like, going into, like, the second or third year that Moto was in X Games, you know, and that year when all that went down back in Rhode Island, it was just on that teetering point, you know, like that was like the first event that had like a really solid TV package. And, you know, it was like overnight, you know, I went from, you know, having a good solid name in freestyle motocross, which is like having a good solid name in, you know, BMX racing.
Yeah.
To, you know, overnight, you know, being on SportsCenter and on every news clip worldwide. And it was just like a overnight flood. You know, it was pretty wild. And it turned into a, you know, from that point, you know, it was both good and bad for me. You know, it turned into a sport that was super, super fun. You know, up to that point, I had a blast doing it. You know, mm-hmm. And, yeah, it was about pushing the envelope and trying to evolve the sport, which was doing backflips. And then it turned into me. It started turning into just lots of money and lots of pressure and, you know, sponsor obligations and TV time and, like, all this stuff. And it just turned, you know, it kind of put me in a situation where I spent the next couple of years kind of chasing this whole monkey of backflips and everything that went along with it. And, you know, I kind of got into a rut where I would either, you know, usually get on a podium and get a medal, or I would, you know, leave with broken bones. It definitely kind of started to put a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, really. I know you told me, I don't know, maybe a few years after that, when I saw you that once a year, you were like, I'm just doing demos. I'm over the judged contests now, you know?
Yeah.
You just were like, I'm a demo guy. It's just judging. It's getting crazy. I don't want to do it all the time, you know? So,
I mean, it does, you know, because, you know, I know a big part of, you know, a big part of me going to freestyle motocross was to get away from that structure and rules and all the crap that went along with motocross, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And that's the same, I'm sure it's the same reason why Brian went to it, and Metzger and Jonesy and all the rest of these guys. Like, there's a reason why we all got away from motocross.
Right.
You know? And, you know, and but just like anything, you know, like, you know, the popularity of freestyle motocross started to build, and you have to have more structured events, and, you know, and that's just the evolution, you know, and I think now you're kind of starting to get a little bit diversity, kind of like how snowboarding, like snowboarding, you have contest guys and you have big mountain guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then in skateboarding, you have street guys and you have contest guys. And now as we're all getting a little bit older, you know, you're starting to see things kind of, you know, change a little bit. You got Drake McElroy, he doesn't do a lot of contests, but he still stays active. And same thing with Deegan, and same thing with myself. You know,
yeah.
Like I'm at a point now where I'm having fun riding my bike and I don't have a gun to my head to go out and set the world on fire, and I'm having the best time ever.
Now, before you did that backflip, had you done one before?
No. The first time I ever even attempted it was out there in Rhode Island.
I thought.
I'd gone out to Camp Woodward with TJ Lavin
uh-huh.
for about a week, a couple of weeks before Gravity Games, and you know, we went through all the fundamentals. You know, Camp Woodward is an action sports camp out in Pennsylvania, and they
yeah.
have foam pits and, like, all these elements of trying to, you know, evolve tricks safely. So we went out there, and I learned all the concepts of backflipping a bicycle, how to, you know, speed up the flip and slow it down, and, you know, spotting your landing, just, like, all the fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
And just basically took from what I learned on those 5 days out in Camp Woodward, I took all those fundamentals straight to Gravity and just kind of tried to duplicate it.
You knew you were going to do a backflip? You size up the ramp?
I mean,
the whole thing, the whole time?
I mean, that's the only reason why I went out to Gravity that year. I wasn't going out to put in the best run. I was going out there to do a flip.
You're
going to
do a flip, and that's it, right off.
Pretty much.
Hopefully right off.
Yeah.
Now, I was at Reedy's like a month ago, and Travis was there. And I'm not kidding you, he did a backflip off a 4-foot-high mound of dirt.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just crazy how it's evolved, you know what I mean?
Pastrana's a maniac.
I know. Take me through that crash at the Boom Boom Huck Jam. What did you do?
Yeah, that was pretty gnarly.
What did you do? I mean, I just heard you hit a dude in the air. Fell.
No, actually what happened, it was literally, I think it was first or second day of tour. And, you know, we're still working out some kinks. If people don't know, I mean, basically the Boom Boom Tour was like a choreographed tour of skateboarding, BMX, and freestyle moto. And the way the moto was set up was we literally jumped over the outside corners of the vert ramp. Well, there's a part in the show where it's kind of like a jam session with all of us going all choreographed, where I get a cue in the turn to take off and start hitting the ramps. Well, when I get that cue, the skaters would work their way into the middle part of the ramp. So they're using the middle section, and we were jumping over the outside edges.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was some sort of a miscue or something kind of went astray a little bit. Someone missed a cue or something like that.
Yeah.
So as I got my cue to take off, I took off. As I'm getting ready to hit the takeoff, a skateboarder popped out on the deck literally right in front of me and was kind of like deer in headlights because it was really dark on the backside of the ramp.
Yeah.
So I had to make the choice to, you know, to avoid hitting him. So I turned off the ramp and I flew diagonal into the vert ramp and went about 75 feet to to vert wall and broke both legs, both arms, and
yeah,
pretty much that was the end of it. You know, it almost killed me. Almost died in the hospital and through surgeries and had blood clots really bad. And
I heard
a lot of shock to my body, but
damn,
yeah, yeah, it was gnarly.
I'm sure. I wonder if the skateboard guy thanked you.
I mean, you know, it's part of it, man. I remember having a conversation with Tony. You know, like when you know he first came up with the idea to do the tour, and I go, uh-huh. You know what? It's a great idea, and you know, just you know, anything can happen. You know, you're dealing with a lot of moving parts, and you know, just don't be shocked if something happens, and you know, just move forward with it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately enough, it was me that it happened to, and you know, I remember laying in the hospital and you know, and talking with Tony. You know, a couple days after, you know, I was all doped up on morphine. I was like, look, dude, I told you it was going to happen. You just got to just keep moving forward with the tour.
Wow.
Part of it, you know, not a safe sport.
Both arms and both legs.
Yeah, I scattered my right heel, like compacted my heel almost up into my ankle, and broke my left femur and both arms.
Damn. I didn't know it was that bad. I know you were in a hospital for a long time, but
yeah, I mean, it was bad. I mean, you know, I was in ICU for about 2.5 weeks, and from there, I did another, you know, 2 months in a wheelchair. I mean, that's pretty much what took me out of competing anymore. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was
yeah.
probably about a solid on and off, probably about 3 years before I could get back on a bike.
Jeez. And then when you say you're going to Australia, what are you going to Australia to do now?
We actually put together this pretty rad concept. Me and Pink, we came up with this idea. You know, we want to start trying to involve each other in each other's lives more, you know, so we can make this thing work. And, you know, we both live out of a suitcase, so we, you know, we try to come up with some concepts and ideas, like how, you know, how can we work on a relationship and spend time together and both still be able to work. So, you know, so with Steve Asma, my manager, you know, we came up with, originally I was going to maybe go over and do some of the Cresti tour because she was touring Australia at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And when that didn't really work out, I was like, you know, Steve's like, why don't we just do your own tour? So basically we come up with the idea of we're doing a Hart and Huntington freestyle, you know, freestyle demo tour, like nothing heavy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a contest. It's just like a really fun, rad demo environment. And it's going to be it's free for all people, all spectators, anybody wants to come. And it's going to be in the parking lot of her stadium tour in Australia.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, so it's rad. So, you know, so it's like, and it's great because it's once again, it's going kind of outside the box. It's going to her fan base who's probably never seen motocross or doesn't know much about motocross.
Yeah.
You know, she's doing, you know, anywhere from 15 to 20,000 seat arenas. And, you know, during the day they can come down early and see me and some of the top Aussie guys do our demo and kind of do our thing and, you know, do like a little autograph meet and greet. And it's just good for the sport, you know. It gets to, you know, kind of expose people to the scene that they might not be involved with.
You going to bring it over here too, or no?
I mean, I think if everything goes smooth in Australia and the response as well, and you know, and the sponsors who signed on to help put this whole thing on are satisfied with the outcome, I think it's a good footprint to try to implement it into America. You know, I know she's trying to put together a spring summer tour for next year for the U.S. and. You know, I think if this Australia tour goes solid, I think it'd be a perfect match for America. You know, and once again, it's reaching out to a fan base who is young and, you know, is influential and that might not know about motocross, who's a Pink fan who can, you know, come to the show a couple hours early and actually see something for free. You know, like
yeah.
not have to buy an extra ticket, but, you know, it's free to the public. Come down and check it out.
Nobody loves freestyle like the Aussies, that's for sure.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, they go
crazy.
They go crazy for that. Definitely. Yeah, I didn't want to get all TMZ-ish on you, but you're back together with your wife?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're trying to make this relationship work.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay, that's enough of that. I don't really want to be any.
No, I mean, you know how it is. I mean, it's difficult.
Yeah.
You know, for any, even just like a racer with an at-home wife or girlfriend, it's difficult, you know? So you have two people with really busy schedules. It's really hard. So trying to work it out.
What's the craziest paparazzi story you have?
Oh man, it's been
like, what do they do? What's the nuts? They're crazy. I know this, but
oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, especially getting like LA and Europe. I mean, it's so invasive. It's just getting ridiculous. You know, I mean, they'll chase you down the street, say nasty stuff to you. I mean, just anything to get some sort of a reaction out of you, and it's just ridiculous.
Shouldn't there be a law?
You know, there should be. I mean, it's a shame that, you know, lawmakers. I mean, it's not like to protect the privilege. It's just like, I mean, you know what? There's a time and a place for everything. You want to be on a red carpet. I mean, we do it at X Games. We throw a party. We have a red carpet. That's your time to take pictures and ask questions. You don't be doing it when someone's leaving a restaurant or walking out of their house in the morning. It's just disrespectful.
Yeah. No, I can't. I mean,
at the same time, I cannot believe the steps they take. But there's my wife in front of the show, in front of the TV, watching it. You know what I mean? So I guess we have ourselves as a society to blame, because we want to know so much about Carrie Hart and Pink. But I don't get it. I don't know how you don't punch these dudes.
The part is too is most of it's not positive. Usually it's all the negative stuff. If this girl's fat, or that guy's an alcoholic, or I mean it's just definitely past the line as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know how you deal with it. I don't know.
I try not to be around that stuff too much, to be honest.
Yeah, you should sick Watson on them.
Yeah, right.
Carrie, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
All good, dude.
Yeah, I really, really thanks for doing this. I know you're a super busy guy. I mean, I've had MC Stuart Reed on the show. Nobody's had their assistant call me ahead of time, so I know you're busy. You know what I mean? Like, I got to schedule you in here, so.
Dude, it sucks, man. I'm so buried as of lately, but it's good, though. It's all good. You just got to be careful what you sign up for.
Right. You never know. One day it's going to be all crickets, and you're going to say, where's everybody?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, I'll see you this weekend, right?
Yeah, I'll be out there.
Okay. Thanks, Hart.
All right. Take it easy.
Later.
Bye.
There he is. The one, the only, Carrie Hart, freestyle pioneer, Carrie Hart. I want to thank him for coming on the show. I want to thank Hart and Huntington for giving me free clothes earlier this year and last year. Well, basically free anyways. And, most of all, I want to thank you guys for listening. So you can email me at mathis@racerxonline.com. Let me know who you want to see. And thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next week.